This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He's also one of the leading scientific voices raising doubts about the science behind the global warming movement. We want to get his thoughts on some of the latest developments in this ongoing debate, specifically comments from the White House science czar, John Holdren, that now we are supposed to call it not global warming, not climate change, but global climate disruption. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Greg.
What do you make of the linguistic shift here?
Well, it is exactly that. I mean, one of the things that has been going on with this whole strategy is moving the goalposts. And, of course, the one that people noticed fairly quickly, actually, was that it was global warming, and then it became climate change. And that was brought about because of what Thomas Huxley said over 100 years ago, the great bane of science is a lovely hypothesis destroyed by an ugly fact. And in the case of global warming, they were arguing that it was CO2 from human activities that was causing the temperature to go up. In fact, in the last IPCC report, they said they were that 90% of the temperature change was due to human CO2. But the temperatures were going down. CO2 continued to increase in the atmosphere, and the temperature went down, in complete contradiction to their hypothesis. So instead of going back and correcting the hypothesis, they simply changed the target from global warming to climate change. And of course, that allowed them to encompass everything. Climate change is always going on, and tomorrow there's going to be more climate change. So, and this is the game they play, that they point out, they point to natural events as if they were unnatural, which means, of course, that they never run out of ammunition, and they never really can be wrong. The problem is that the public generally don't understand how much the climate changes and what are natural events. So now we have another shifting of the goalposts with John Holdren, Obama's science czar, and he's been very politically active in this whole thing, apart from the fact that he was a co-author with Paul Ehrlich on the whole population bomb and that fiasco, and the totally ridiculous predictions that they made that have now proved completely wrong. And Holdren was part of that, but more important, he was part at Harvard of the attacks upon skeptics, particularly two very, very good skeptics, and I don't mean good skeptics in a way, by that I mean good scientists, Willie Soon and Sally Baliunas. And Holdren orchestrated an attack upon these two scientists when he was at Harvard, had a breakfast meeting, and just ridiculed their work. And, of course, this was necessary because Soon and Baliunas had shown that there was a medieval warm period back 1,000 years ago, and, of course, that was problematic for them. So Holdren has been very actively involved in this in some very nasty ways, and now he comes up with the climate disruption moving of the targets again, and it's just more of the same. The climate is continuing to do what it's always done, and the sun is continuing to do what it's always done, but they're ignoring natural causes, and they want to prove that humans are the cause of it all.
You mentioned how some of the more recent science is not backing up the idea of a progressive warming of the planet, so that might be part of this. Also, last winter, of course, it was brutal for much of the country, certainly out here on the east coast of the United States, and so they seem to be a little bit on the defensive then. You also had, of course, the controversy over the Climate Research Institute. So how much of this is a defensive posture related to what has been happening in the press as opposed to what's been happening in the scientific data?
Well, I think it's all defensive. It's all attempting to salvage by shifting goalposts, by attacking individuals, rather than looking at the science and dealing with the science. And by the way, you can add to your list of cold the Southern Hemisphere. I mean, the records in Peru and Australia and the Antarctic ice is at the greatest extent since we've been measuring it. Now, that's only since 1980, but nonetheless, it is at the biggest extent. And so, yes, all of this is defensive. The science is simply disintegrating. And what's happening here, Greg, is very simple. They started with a hypothesis the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and instead of trying to disprove or falsify the hypothesis, they tried to prove it. And of course, what's happened is that despite their attempts and despite their attacks on scientists who try to disprove it, they the evidence just keeps piling up that the original hypothesis is wrong, but they have to defend it because it's become a political hypothesis, the basis that human CO2 is destroying the planet and the capitalist industries producing it have to be shut down. That's really the underlying cause that they're trying to defend.
How much of this is also tied into potentially advancing the climate change legislation, which is one of the major legislative priorities that has not gotten to fruition yet?
Well, exactly. I mean, and every time they brought these things forward, from Kyoto, which was really a transfer of wealth, to and that's continued through the recent Copenhagen meetings, and then the cap and trade, which of course is essential for Obama in the sense of revenue. I think he estimated $587 billion in revenue from it in his first budget, and that is foundering. And then you add to that the attempts to bypass the normal legislative process by allowing the EPA to get the Supreme Court to rule that CO2 is a toxic substance, which is the most ridiculous thing you can imagine, and that then gives them direct bureaucratic control over industry and forcing the shutting down of the industry if the legislative process doesn't go through. So, yes, these things are all linked, and it is all part of a larger strategy to claim that humans are destroying the planet.
Last 60 seconds here, Dr. Ballin. I know I ask you this a lot, but I think it's good to keep asking it in the context of this debate. There's obviously a level of complexity here that keeps a lot of people from truly understanding what the facts may be here. So if there's a major climate event or a especially harsh winter, especially hot summer, and on the one hand they hear you explaining how this is coming from natural climactic events, on the other side saying this is from global warming, how are they supposed to sift through to figure out who's right?
Well, that's a very, very good question. And, of course, they played on lack of understanding and the complexity of it. The simple thing that they need to look at is the predictions that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is the official agency they hold up, look at the prediction. Now, they claim they don't make predictions. They claim they're projections. But their projections have been completely wrong. And, of course, one of the definitions of science is the ability to predict. And so if you can't predict, then there's something wrong with your science. And they have been completely wrong in every prediction or projection that they've made to date. And so this is why, of course, that as nature continues with its pattern and it doesn't agree with what people have been told, they're really starting to question the whole thing. And that's the key thing to look at.
Dr. Ball, fascinating. And, of course, the debate rolls on. Thank you so much for being with us, as always.
Well, thank you, Greg. And again, thanks for the opportunity.
Dr. Tim Ball taught climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He's one of the leading scientific voices raising doubts about the global warming movement. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.